Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided, and we're going to pick up where we left off in our continuing study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. We started verse 5 in our last episode, which says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Now what we see here is the Apostle Paul, he's holding up the issue of the gospel for this dispensation. Now, when we talk about the gospel, that really is the foundation of everything that this dispensation is built upon. And that gospel is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And believing in that and that alone is what gives someone their salvation today. And that's that message that you see the Apostle Paul, as he said, was this, "For our gospel came not unto you." This is the gospel message that he's holding up, and it's a gospel message that has been committed unto the Apostle Paul, and it's what his ministry really revolves around. And so that's why when you see the Apostle Paul talking about the way that the body of Christ is supposed to function, you see that the things really focus around the issues of this message. I want to go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to see here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 a verse that the Apostle Paul uses to speak about this commitment of things. And we're going to read verse 2 of 2 Timothy 2. It says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So the issue is that there is some information that they've heard of the Apostle Paul, and they're to take that information, they're to commit this information to others, so that way these other people can go out and continue to teach this message. And this is really almost a measuring stick for the effectiveness of the body of Christ. You know, one of the things I talk about is, you know, those four E's of how the body functions: the evangelism, the edification, the exhortation, and that last one, the eldership, of that idea of taking this message that's been committed to us, giving it to other individuals, so that way they can go out and they can be teaching other people, and this message continues to go forward. Otherwise, what's going to happen is this generation will be the last generation that actually hears the gospel of the grace of God preached unto them today. And that's not what God intends to actually happen. And that's why you see this Apostle Paul talking about how the functioning of the body of Christ actually works. We're here in 2 Timothy. I want to go back to chapter number 1 for a moment. You're going to see Paul start telling Timothy some things about how he was to live his life. We're going to start in verse number 8 of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now the Apostle Paul, as he's talking here to Timothy, he starts with this issue of to not be ashamed of these things. In particular, to not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he accomplished in the message that had been committed unto the Apostle Paul today. Unfortunately, you see a lot of that almost shame thing of individuals being ashamed of this message and not wanting to spread this message forward. You see individuals who have positions of authority that have understood the message that was committed to the Apostle Paul that he teaches for us today, and they'll actually say things of, well, you know, I can't actually teach that to the people who sit under my ministry, because if I teach this, they're going to throw me out of this congregation because they don't want to hear it. So rather than teaching the truth, they are ashamed of this message and don't want to actually preach it. You have individuals who are, you know, dealing with lost people all the time, and that shame of, well, if I say something about the gospel message, you know, how are they going to look at me? You know, they're going to look at me differently than what I want them to look at me about. So I'm not going to say anything at this moment and let those opportunities not occur to have this message go forth. The Apostle Paul always intended this gospel message to go forward. In fact, when Paul starts talking about what he sees as his role and his responsibility of things, look over to Ephesians chapter number 3. Because you see the Apostle Paul here in the book of Ephesians start to talk about what it is that he sees his responsibility to be. And we're going to start here in verse number 7 of Ephesians chapter 3. It says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, even unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, in the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, you see in this series of verses, the Apostle Paul actually identifies what he sees his responsibility is when he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The Apostle Paul doesn't limit the spreading of this message to any individuals. He says it's to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That fits in with the will of God that's identified in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, where it talks about that it's God's will that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So that idea of all men being saved, receiving the gospel message, but that also all men would come to the knowledge of the truth, understand what the mystery is, understand all of the information that's been committed to the Apostle Paul today. And this is why you've seen, we talked about in our last episode, looking at those verses of where Paul identifies this as my gospel, this information that had been given to him to go forward and teach the individuals, this information that he's committing unto us, so that way we can be able to go forth and continue to teach this message. This is why you see the Apostle Paul in his prayer life related to this message going forward. You see him say a couple things about this. In fact, I want to go over to Colossians chapter number 4. And we're going to see, you know, this is going to be one of two passages that we're going to identify where we see the Apostle Paul praying about the message of the gospel going forward. And here in Colossians chapter number 4, we're going to read verses 2 and starting in verse 2. It says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." So here you have the Apostle Paul talking about this prayer, praying, you know, instructing those who are in the church at Colossae related to this prayer, and talking about how there should be a prayer for this door of utterance to be opened, the opportunity to be able to teach this message, to be able to preach this gospel. You know, when we look at our interactions with any individuals who are unsaved, you know, we can see those opportunities to where we can shift the conversation away from the things of this world and start to talk about the things of the gospel message, to start talking about the mystery, the grace of God, and start to hopefully have that opportunity and have individuals willing to receive this message. Now, there's another part of this prayer that not only is it just for these opportunities to be able to preach this message, but we also see, let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 6, and we're going to see in this passage where the Apostle Paul is going to add on something else related to this prayer about the message going forth. And here in Ephesians chapter number 6, we're going to start here, verse number 18, says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So here we have the Apostle Paul actually praying for this issue of boldness to be able to proclaim this message. Now, when you really think about that for a moment, and you really realize that this is the individual who saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, had all of this information directly revealed unto him, had a perfect, or as close to a perfect understanding of the message of the grace of God is any individual who's walked on the planet during this dispensation. And he is actually praying for boldness to proclaim this message. Now, this is just a short section away from that verse that we looked at a few minutes ago, where Paul was proclaiming that his responsibility was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And yet, as he's finishing this epistle, he's talking about how he needs this boldness to proclaim this message. He needs this boldness to overcome, you know, what we looked at and he wrote to Timothy, talked about that shame that could be there. Paul's praying for boldness to be able to spread this message. He wants this message to keep going forward. And that's why when we see the issue in the text that we started with in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, we're talking about, "For our gospel came not," and it's talking about the message going forth, our responsibility that we have to go out, preach this message, So that way individuals could be able to receive that salvation. And the fact that he's even having to say this is actually pointing out the fact that he's going to have to, you know, continue to keep teaching this message, and that individuals, you know, there's this thought process that individuals have where they either try to limit the effectiveness of the grace of God, or they try to blow the effectiveness so much out of proportion. And using the passage, and I had alluded to it a few minutes ago, but I want to actually read this passage now in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And we're going to read here verses 3 and 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." And what individuals do with that is they almost take, you know, either they limit that idea when it says, "We'll have all men to be saved," and they'll limit and say, "Well, it's all men who are the elect." And we dealt with that issue of the elect a few episodes ago, looking at what that issue really means. But individuals say, "Well, God only chooses certain individuals to actually truly have salvation." And so this issue of "have all men to be saved" is really dealing with, you know, God has chosen a group of people to actually have salvation. Those are the only ones who are going to receive it. And everyone else, if they hear the gospel message, they're going to reject it. Even if they had wanted to accept it, they have no hope to actually accept that message. Now, other individuals go the complete opposite direction of it and say, you know, when it talks about that God will have all men to be saved, they say, "Well, if it's God's will that all men will be saved, then it truly means that all men will be saved, and that, you know, regardless of whether somebody actually puts their trust in the gospel today or not, no matter what occurs, they're still going to be saved at the end. They're still going to be part of God's program, part of God's reconciliation of the heavens and the earth. All individuals who've ever lived are going to be part of this program." Now, when you really think about that, is that what God is actually saying? Is God saying that individuals, you know, when it starts to talk about the lake of fire in the book of Revelation, and the individuals who are being cast into there and being part of that eternal death, that second death, the separation from God, is there any reference to where individuals have a hope to be able to escape that once they've been placed into that position? There are, you know, no verses that actually identify that somebody can be pulled out of that lake of fire. That's a permanent position. The hope that somebody has is that they would receive this salvation today during their life. You know, we have that understanding of, you know, not all of mankind is going to receive this salvation. Individuals are going to reject that, just like individuals are going to reject the idea of the second part of that verse when it starts to talk about and says, "and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That's the edification and exhortation piece of the functioning of the body of Christ. Individuals are going to reject that part of it as well. The result of that is that individuals are going to lose the rewards that they could have gained for themselves by functioning properly. But there's individuals who are going to reject that. Individuals do have access to salvation. And I want to go over to Titus chapter number 2. Because we're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to talk about the access that individuals have with the gospel message today. And here in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So the grace of God, the message that brings salvation, it says, hath appeared to all men. So it's already appeared to all of mankind. Now, individuals say, well, how can it possibly be said that all of mankind actually has access to the grace of God? Well, individuals have access to the grace of God through what we find in the Word of God. We have access through what the Scriptures identify for us as the truth for today. And because individuals have access to the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing that can actually produce faith in an individual, individuals have to have access to the Word of God in order to be able to say that for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We have a fully complete Word of God that contains the information related to the grace of God, related to the salvation that's been given to us today. And because we have a completed Word of God, that Word of God was completed through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and you see him speak about that. Now, I'm reading here in Colossians chapter number 1, where the Apostle Paul is going to speak about this issue here. And we're going to start here in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 24. It says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, we see the Apostle Paul identifying in verse number 25 of Colossians chapter number 1, when it says, "which is given to me for you," and it says, to fulfill the word of God. That word fulfill means to complete. It was the responsibility of the Apostle Paul to complete the word of God. So when he wrote his last epistle, which was 2 Timothy, you know, the book that we read a couple verses out of earlier in this episode, when he finished penning that epistle to Timothy, the Word of God was actually complete. All of the information that man needs is all given to us. It is our responsibility to be able to study the Word of God rightly divided, to gain the understanding of what the Word says, and to be able to teach this information to others. And that's why you see the Apostle Paul really focusing, as he's beginning to speak to this church at Thessalonica, about this whole issue of the gospel and why we're spending a few episodes really dealing with this. And in our next episode, we're going to focus on the issues of how the gospel message came not just in the words of man, but it comes with the power that comes from God, because everything that's contained in the Scriptures is not the words of man, but it truly is the Word of God that's been given to us today. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join either our Sunday service, you know, on Facebook Live, or how to join our Wednesday night Bible study, which is, you know, done through a conference call system. We would love to have, you know, all the individuals who've been listening to these messages join us in those methods. If you ever have any questions or comments about the things you either read or hear from us, feel free to contact us and we'll answer whatever questions that you have. And so until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.